It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy, oh boy. Hello, hello. It is January 5th, 2022, and that means it is Wednesday. Yep.
That's correct.
And one of the things with Wednesdays is until time change happens, I have a meeting scheduled, a standing meeting on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. my time, which is local time, which is also 1900 UTC. So, this is a pre-recorded show. I'll join in comm if I can. But anyway, sorry to do that. I did finally get my audio working so I can hear myself in the monitor again. Hooray. So I hope the production value of this show goes up to hopefully match the high production value coming in on the on the Dubious Goals Committee this week. So even if you are like, eh, I don't want to listen to the news, come back at 1930 UTC for the Dubious Goals Committee. And I want to mention, you can hang out in comm and talk and chat with people while we listen to it on radio in the Anon Radio Room in comm. All you need to do is SSH over to sdf.org, and once you're there, you'll go ahead and type comm, C-O-M, press enter, then press G for go to, and then type Anon Radio, all lowercase, all one word, and hit enter, and boom, you'll be connected with the Anon Radio Room. Get to hang out with cool folks there. One of the things to note, there is a tutorial or a wiki entry. I believe it's called Comm is not IRC, or Commode Chat is not IRC. It points out a lot of differences, which can be helpful if you're new. All right. Well, that's all of the talking about meta stuff I want to do right now. So let's go ahead and get started the way we pretty much always start.
World news.
Oh my gosh. Massive beheadings in Afghanistan over the weekend. The Taliban has ordered shop owners in western Afghanistan to remove the heads of mannequins, insisting life-size figures violate Islamic law. A video clip showing men sawing the plastic heads off female dummies went viral on social media, the AFP news agency reported on Wednesday. So, not really people's heads, but I'm sure there are beheadings going on in Afghanistan too. Since returning to power in August, the Taliban's increasingly imposed their interpretation of Islamic law, severely curtailing freedoms, particularly those of women and girls. "We have ordered the shopkeepers to cut the heads off mannequins, as this is against Islamic Sharia law," Aziz Rahman, the head of the Ministry for the Promotion of Virtue and Prevention of Vice in the city of Herat, was quoted as saying by AFP. "If you just cover the head, if they just cover the head or hide the entire mannequin, the angel of Allah will not enter their shop or house and bless them," Rahman added, after some vendors initially responded by covering the heads of mannequins with plastic bags or headscarves. The Taliban has so far issued no national policy on mannequins or statues. Under the group's interpretation of Islamic law, depictions of the human figure are forbidden. During their first government in the 1990s, the Taliban triggered global outrage after blowing up two ancient Buddha statues. Since seizing power, they have banned girls from secondary school in several provinces, while women have largely been prevented from working in public sector and excluded from government positions. So, last week, authorities in Kabul said women seeking to travel should not be offered road transport unless accompanied by a close male relative. The group has increased raids on liquor sellers, rounded up drug addicts, and banned music. Music.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Oh my gosh. So anyway, yeah. Things continue to be bad in the Taliban-ruled Afghanistan. Now on over to a different, but equally notable, hostile area: North Korea. North Korea has fired a suspected ballistic missile into the sea off its east coast in its first such launch since October. The missile landed in the water between the Korean Peninsula and Japan, bringing condemnation from Seoul and Tokyo. The UN prohibits North Korea from ballistic and nuclear weapons tests. Leader Kim Jong-un has vowed to bolster the North's defenses. It tested a variety of missiles last year and stalled talks with the South and U.S. The latest launch, the first since a New Year's speech in which Mr. Kim set out policy priorities for 2022, was first reported by the Japanese Coast Guard early on Wednesday, before being confirmed by defense authorities in Seoul. South Korean and U.S. intelligence are closely analyzing for further detail. Japan's defense minister, Nobu Kishi, said the suspected ballistic missile had flown about 500 kilometers. According to one expert, there was no way to confirm the full striking range of the missile. There's no way to assess whether this might have been a longer-range missile flown on a shorter trajectory. And Kit Panda of the Nuclear Policy Program at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace told BBC News. In 2017, North Korea tested the Hwasong-15, a missile that peaked at an estimated altitude of 4,500 kilometers, putting U.S. military bases on the Pacific island of Guam well within striking distance. The launch comes days after Mr. Kim said that Pyongyang would continue to strengthen its defense capabilities, which they mentioned earlier. So, we'll keep an eye out here. If you're unaware, Guam is one of the, what do you call it? I think we call it a territory or a protectorate, but it's one of the colonies the United States has out in the Pacific. Oh man, and we abuse the heck out of the native people there, indigenous people there. All right, let's talk about COVID for a while here. Netherlands hits new daily COVID record. More than 24,000 cases reported as infections soar 60% from previous week. Daily coronavirus infections in the Netherlands soared to a record high of around 24,500 as the Omicron variant of the coronavirus has become dominant in the country. Omicron's driving record daily cases from the United States to Australia, adding to pressure on health services. Australia, once feted for its success in controlling the virus, reported 64,758 new cases on Wednesday, most of them in the states of New South Wales and Victoria. Meanwhile, China is doubling down on its COVID-zero strategy, announcing new city lockdowns in response to only a few cases, and Hong Kong is ordering people who are in some 57 locations visited by close contacts of a person later confirmed with Omicron to undergo compulsory testing. So, it is not looking great. One of the things, though, I wanted to read was from Al Jazeera. It's titled Doctor's Note, and it's just a little bit of information about COVID-19 Omicron variant. Scientists are using the word milder with much trepidation to describe the illness from Omicron variant of COVID-2. It is widely accepted that even if the variant is milder, the sheer number of people it infects might lead to more hospitalizations overall, with healthcare workers having to isolate due to testing positive. Real-world data is still coming in about whether or not this variant does indeed cause a milder illness and carries a lower risk of hospitalization, but early laboratory data on lung tissue in mice and hamsters may hold some answers. It is hypothesized that the serious illness from COVID-19 occurs once the virus gets into the lungs and spreads to other parts of the body. If it can be contained in the upper airways, the mouth, nose, etc., there is much less chance of severe disease. However, lead author, Dr. Michael Chan, has urged caution over the findings. It's important to note that the severity of the disease in humans is not determined only by virus replication, but also by a host immune response. Many of the hospitalizations have occurred not only because of the illness, but also because of the unpredictable nature by which our immune systems respond to the virus. In some cases, the immune system is able to switch off and attacks only the cells infected by the virus, but the healthy cells as well. Chan noted that a highly contagious virus like Omicron may cause more severe disease and death simply by spreading much faster, even though the associated lung infection appears not as bad. And they believe they figured out why it can't spread as well in the lungs. The essential protein found on lung cells called TMPRSS2, which has usually helped previous SARS-CoV-2 variants to gain entry into lung cells themselves, bound less strongly to Omicron, meaning it was more difficult to get inside and infect lung cells. That's going on. Something to say is that, let's see. This story is really long, so I'm not going to go through all of it. I'm just giving you the highlights. It's clear that a booster dose of the COVID-19 vaccine after your initial doses offers good protection against serious illness from the Omicron variant. Before Omicron, one booster dose of the vaccine was thought to be enough for the time being. Vaccines trigger different parts of the immune system, neutralizing antibodies that kill the virus on arrival and stop it from infecting cells, and that reduces the risk of transmission of the virus. They also trigger longer-lasting B and T memory, that's Bravo and Tango memory cells, that offer long-term protection by killing cells that might be infected. But now with Omicron, transmission of the virus is the main issue, with numbers, huge numbers of people becoming infected. This means experts are more focused on those neutralizing antibodies, which are crucial in reducing the spread of virus in a bid to get numbers of people infected under control. And fortunately, a new study from the UK suggested these antibody levels may drop off 10 weeks after the booster. So, what's the good news? Come on.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Here's the good news. In the face of U.S. sanctions, Cuba makes its own effective vaccine. When the pandemic began, Cuba recognized the 60-year-long U.S. economic sanctions against it would make it difficult to import COVID-19 vaccines to help its population, so it decided to manufacture its own. Researchers at a state-run biotech company began developing COVID vaccines, and eventually, the Finlay Institute of Vaccines in Havana came up with the Soberana 2, which entered Phase 3 clinical trials in March 2021. To make Soberana 02, Finlay scientists combined fragments of the coronavirus spike protein with a deactivated form of a tetanus toxin, the combination of which can boost production of immune cells and antibodies. The virus was approved for use in adults in August of 2021. Then in November, a study showed that the Cuban-produced vaccine is more than 90% effective in protecting against symptomatic COVID-19 infection when used in combination with a related vaccine. Another Cuban-produced vaccine, Abdallah, manufactured at the Center for Genetic Engineering and Biotechnology, is found to be 92% effective. The results of Phase 3 trials are not yet published. That vaccine was given approval for adults in July of 2021. Both vaccines are also being given to children and in Cuba and are currently being exported to other countries that are bound by U.S. sanctions, including Venezuela and Iran. So I thought that was really cool and worth mentioning. Whew, man, do you feel it?
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
No, we're almost there. French uproar as Macron vows to piss off the unvaccinated. This is one way to do it. I mean, that's kind of how you cajole people to do something, is you make public policy so onerous, eventually they either revolt or comply. French President Emmanuel Macron has been accused of using divisive, vulgar language after he used a slang term to say he wanted to make life difficult for unvaccinated people. "I really want to piss them off, and we'll carry on doing this to the end," he told Le Parisien newspaper. 3 months ahead of a presidential election, opponents of Mr. Macron said his words were unworthy of a president. MPs halted debate on law barring the unvaccinated from much of public life. The session in the National Assembly was brought to a standstill for a second night, running on Tuesday, as opposition delegates complained about the president's language, with one leading figure describing it as unworthy, irresponsible, and premeditated. Legislation is expected to be approved in a vote this week, but it has angered vaccine opponents, and several French MPs have said they have received death threats over the issue. Mandatory vaccinations are being introduced in several European countries, with Austria leading the way for over 14s from next month, and Germany playing a similar move for adults. Italy's government was on Wednesday considering a compulsory vaccine pass for at least anyone over 60. So, Macron using dirty words, using slang words, and being cheeky, I guess, to try and get people to get vaccinated. Okay, what else? Well, let me read you one more story and then we'll play a song because they're kind of related. KFC and Burger King are at war over fries? What? Social media users in Kenya are calling for a boycott of U.S. fast food chain KFC after a shortage of fries. On Twitter, users are claiming the chain has refused to source local potatoes, a situation causing their anger. On January 3rd, KFC Kenya announced on its Twitter page, "You like our fries a bit too much, and we're running out, sorry," offering its customers various alternatives. This sounds remarkably similar to our problem with potatoes in Japan, where McDonald's is only serving small-size fries for now. Jacques Thunesson, KFC's local boss, associated the situation to the COVID-19 pandemic, explaining his restaurant chain was a victim of the global shipping disruption caused by the coronavirus pandemic. "It's about delays in shipping lines because of COVID-19, he told local media. He said KFC hoped to resolve the shortage with a shipload of potatoes expected this week. However, the admission that the goods are not being ordered from local farmers sparked a Twitter storm. In his response, Thunson said, "The current KFC policy allows suppliers to go through a global process to ensure the quality of their products, which cannot be bypassed, even if there is a shortage." I think they mean which cannot be bypassed, even if there's a shortage. However, KFC, which operates locally through franchise Kuku Foods, KUKU Foods, East Africa, did not specify the global quality and safety standards as a potential supplier in Kenya should meet. As Kenyan farmers enter the potato harvesting season, in a country with 60 different potato varieties and a production glut, the slogan "Boycott KFC" has emerged and flourished on Twitter, leading trends. This all talks about KFC. Where's Burger King? KFC's competitors were quick to take advantage of the situation to promote the availability of their offerings, with Burger King tweeting, for example, "We have enough fries for everyone." The social media war comes at a time potato has become the second most important food crop after maize, which is grown by 800,000 small-scale farmers. So, wow, right? The world loves its burgers and fries, and so did Blaze Foley. This song's called "Big Cheeseburger and Good French Fries."
I got an angel of a woman with big brown eyes, got friends in the country and old neckties, love big cheeseburgers and good French fries, good gold fish, but the fish draw flies. Could go swimming if it ain't too deep. Rather to sit here and rest my feet. No, I ain't lazy, cause I don't like to sleep. Might just be lazy to you. I wanna live in the city, have a telephone. I wanna live in the country, throw my dog a bone. Ride on a spaceship, wanna get lost. Mom still tell me about the Pentecost. I ride a bicycle, but my ass gets sore. Sell a holy Bible from door to door. Used to be stupid, but ain't no more. Might just be stupid to you. Busting. I don't like cars, don't like presidents, don't like stars. Never had stitches, but I do got scars. Love to go to parties and love my friends. Got no books, just got bookends. Think I'm crazy, but that depends. Don't seem that crazy to me. Well, the story's old, it's been said before. It's all there is to it, and here's some more. Friend coming over from a liquor store. Joey danced till his feet get sore. I love my woman and my woman love me. Don't go skiing, cause I can't ski. That kind of thing never did bother me, so it shouldn't be bothering you. Got an angel of a woman with big brown eyes. Got friends in the country and old neckties. Love big cheeseburgers and good French fries. Could go fishing, but the fish draw flies. Could go swimming if it ain't too deep. Rather to sit here and cool my feet. No, I ain't lazy cause I don't like to sleep. Might just be lazy to you. Might just be stupid to you. Don't seem that crazy to me, but it shouldn't be bothering you.
Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the HDF Public Access UNIX system.
That's right. You are listening to Anon Radio powered by SDF. And SDF, well, that's powered by you. So thank you so much for listening and hanging out and being here, hanging out on comm, listening wherever you are, anywhere, all over the place, all over the world. We're just having a good old time. That was Blaze Foley, hometown musician out here in Austin, Texas. Man, there's so much news, not enough time. Dubious Goals Committee is coming up in about 10 minutes, so let's see if I can't work this out. First, I cough. Allergies are really bad. It's here in Austin, Texas. The problem we have right now is that it gets really cold. It's been getting cold at night, like 40s at night. Cold to me, 40 Fahrenheit. So it's like in the 20s, in the teens, I guess. 40 to C. What is it in freedom unit, in non-freedom units? 4 degrees. So we get down to about 4 degrees at night, and then it heats back up, and then we're sitting here at like 24 degrees. So it's just hot, and all the plants are blooming because it's been so warm, and it's just driving me nuts, making my allergies crazy. You know what else is going to make you crazy? PFAS. PFAS. The forever chemicals. Anti-fogging sprays and cloths, often used to prevent condensation eyeglasses from wearing a mask or on face shields, may contain high levels of potentially toxic PFAS, that's Papa Foxtrot Alpha Sierra, forever chemicals, according to a new study led by Duke University. Researchers tested four of the top-rated anti-fogging sprays, as well as five top-rated anti-fogging cloths sold by Amazon. In all nine products, experts found fluorotelomere alcohols, FTOHs, and fluorotelomere ethoxylates, FTEOs, two types of per- and polyfluorinated alkyl substances. PFAS have been dubbed as forever chemicals due to their longevity in the environment. Our test shows the sprays contain up to 20.7 milligrams of PFAS per milliliter of solution, which is a pretty high concentration, said study lead Nicholas Herkert, a postdoctoral researcher at Duke's Nicholas School of the Environment. Exposure to some PFAS, like perfluorooctanoic acid, or PFOA, and perfluorooctanisulfonic acid, in particular, have been linked to cancer, thyroid disease, fertility complications, and other health problems. Herkert noted that FTOHs and FTEOs have not been studied extensively, so scientists don't know what health risk they could pose. But research currently suggests that FTOHs, inhaled or absorbed through the skin, could break down in the body and become toxic. Long-lasting PFAS. The FTEOs used in all four anti-fogging sprays were also analyzed in the new study, and it exhibits substantial cell-altering toxicity and conversion to fat cells during lab tests. It's disturbing to think that the products people have been using on a daily basis to keep themselves safe during COVID may be exposing them to a different risk. So there you go. That anti-fog spray you're spraying on your goggles and then sticking on your face. Don't worry. You can see now, for now. sure, you won't get COVID in your eyes for now. But don't worry. You'll get cancer or some other kind of ungodly illness later in life when you're old and there's no safety net for you. Anyway, what else is going on? Gabon and Ghana have joined the UN Security Council. This is pretty big news.
Resistance is futile.
They don't have a veto proof. They don't enjoy the same power that the US and China do, where they can veto things, but the UN Security Council got five new members Tuesday as Albania, Brazil, Gabon, Ghana, and the United Arab Emirates formally took up posts they won in an election in June. Gabon and Ghana each have been on the council three times before and the UAE once. The 15-member council is the UN's most powerful body. China, France, Russia, and the United Kingdom and the United States are permanent members with veto power. Other members are elected by the 193-member General Assembly for two-year terms that are allocated by global regions. The African continent non-permanent seats on the Security Council were held by Kenya, Tunisia, and Niger. South Africa and Senegalese presidents have last year called for permanent representation of the African people in the council. Council members have also convened meetings on security topics of particular interest to them, and smaller countries get to share a prominent platform with world powers. More than 50 of the UN's 193 member countries have never been elected to the council since it formed in 1946. And the UN, kind of like NATO, are interesting relics that continue to have huge power today. Well, shucks. What are we going to talk about? We got a bunch of news here. Let's talk about some science stuff. This is pretty cool. The James Webb Space Telescope SunShield is fully deployed. Hooray! Hooray! That is right. This is great news. The new James Webb Telescope has passed a major milestone in its quest to image the first stars to shine in the cosmos. Controllers on Tuesday completed the deployment of the Space Observatory's giant kite-shaped sun shield. Only with this tennis court-sized barrier Well, the Webb telescope had the sensitivity to detect the signals coming from the most distant objects in the universe. Commissioning work will now concentrate on unpacking the telescope's mirrors, the largest of which is 6.5 meters wide. This is so cool. I was so worried about the deployment of this sun shield. It's several layers. It's got several layers with tiny amounts in between them. And anyway, it's just really cool. There are some really good YouTube videos explaining all the cool science stuff going on. The deployment of the five-membrane sun shield is a triumph for the engineering teams at NASA and the American aerospace manufacturer Northrop Grumman. There were many who doubted the wisdom of design that included so many gears, pulleys, and cables. But years of testing on full-scale and subscale models paid dividends as controllers first separated the shield's different layers and then tensioned them. The fifth and final membrane, which like the other four had the thickness of a human hair, was locked into place at 1658 GMT. So, it's worth noting that all the previous testing done on Earth under gravity conditions, this is the first time the shield had been unfurled in the unique zero-G environment of space. The first time, and we nailed it, enthused Alfonso Stewart, NASA's Webb Deployment Systems lead. So, this will be really cool. As a comparison, the expected lifetime of the telescope, of the James Webb telescope, is 10 years. It's got a mirror of 6.5 meters, and it weighs 6,200 kilograms, and its operating temperature is at negative 230 C. It actually has a really interesting refrigeration system. It has like this acoustic, it uses sound to drive these this like heat pump. It's really cool. I think this is a really neat thing. What else is going on? Well, the United States continues to prove to the world how dumb it can be. A New York school teacher with no formal medical qualifications has been arrested for allegedly giving a COVID vaccine to a student. Police say Laura Russo administered the dose at her home despite having no legal authorization to give jabs or consent from the boy's parents. Miss Russo, 54, who teaches biology, was held on New Year's Eve and could face 4 years in prison if convicted. The 17-year-old boy had reportedly wanted the vaccine. Injections can be dangerous if administered incorrectly. Doctors and licensed medical workers have to verify the vaccine's not counterfeit or expired. Patients should also be asked about their medical history and have their reaction monitored after a jab. Police say it's unclear how Miss Russo obtained the alleged COVID vaccine or what brand it is. Video of the incident in Long Island appears to show Miss Russo telling the teenager, "You'll be fine, I hope. Here you go, at-home vaccine," he says. Officials say the boy's parents called Nassau police after he came home and told them what happened. "She had obtained a vaccine," said Nassau Police Commissioner Patrick Ryder. "That's still under investigation on how she got it." The superintendent of Herricks High School, where Ms. Russo had been working, said in a statement the teacher is a district employee who's been removed from the classroom and reassigned pending the outcome of the investigation. She's charged with unauthorized practice of a profession, and a court hearing's been scheduled for January 21st. So I'll let you know how that goes, but yeah, it's probably not a good idea to take a student to your house in high school, administer drugs to them, and record it. It's just so dumb. Well, we've got about a minute and a half to go, so here are the remaining headlines without the story. Canada reaches $31 billion deal in Indigenous child welfare case. Kazakhstan unrest continues with internet access now being cut to the country. U.S. law professors condemned for white supremacist comments by own dean. Professor Amy Wax of the University of Pennsylvania's Law School made racist remarks about Asian elites and immigration. University of Pennsylvania.
7.